Chapter 30.
Is that an echo?
Sophie looked round for Charles.
Is it?
Her voice hurt her own ears.
I can't hear it,
she cried.
Has it stopped?
It hadn't stopped. It had only grown fainter. It sounds like no echo I have heard, said Charles. Echoes do not change key. It was Matteo who jerked them out of their shock. He shoved Sophie in the small of the back. She almost dropped her cello.
Go, now, vite! Mon Dieu, are you deaf? Go! Where's it coming from? She said. Where? Quick! It's coming from the northwest, said Anastasia.
She started to run, pulling Sophie along.
Go west first! Which way is west? Cried Sophie. Left or right?
Left, said Safi. There. The roof with the black weather vane.
Then the public baths, and then you are to jump.
Sophie turned and ran. Charles thundered after her. The slates under her feet cracked. The steps of the others faded.
Sophie, called Matteo, you're going too fast.
Sophie was not, in her own opinion, going too fast. She was going not fast enough, and the music was swooping as though to an end. She jumped 2 feet to the bathhouse. Then there was a solid street's worth of pointed rooftops, and she ran, not bothering to keep low, along them. Anyone looking up would have seen a dark, soft-shoed blur.
Sophie! Stop!
Sophie came to a sudden halt. There was a side street between her rooftop and the next. The next rooftop was flat, but the gap was twice as long as her own body. It would be so great an anticlimax to die now. She stopped, choking on her own breath. She tried to prepare to jump, but her legs would not bend.
I can't, she whispered.
You can.
Suddenly Charles was behind her.
I'll throw you across.
Curl into a ball. She couldn't understand him.
What?
Crouch!
He sounded like a sergeant major. Sophie crouched. He said,
make sure to land on your feet and hands, not your knees. Knees are brittle, not your knees. You understand, Sophie?
Sophie nodded.
Quick!
The music was fading.
On three, Sophie. One. Two.
Charles hefted her in his arms and swung her backwards.
Three!
Sophie had not known that Charles was so strong. He'd always looked spindly. But he lifted her with ease, and now the wind bit at her face, and then she hit the opposite rooftop with a thud and felt the skin scrape off her palms. There was another shout of three, and a thump. Matteo landed next to her.
You! How did you get here?
I thought I'd catch you up, he said. I didn't want to miss it.
Then Charles jumped, with his legs outstretched, silhouetted against the street lamp. He landed on one knee awkwardly and brushed some dust out of his eyebrows. He spoke gruffly.
I suggest, Sophie, that you don't mention this to the educational authorities. Throwing children across rooftops is frowned upon, I believe.
Sophie stared at him.
Go! He cried.
Sophie ran on. Sometimes her panting covered the music, and she thought it had stopped. But it kept playing, and always quicker, even when quicker should have been impossible. Matteo was limping on his left foot, and she could hear him grunting in pain, but his face was steady. Then Sophie heard Matteo gasp, and turned back just in time to see his legs slip from under him. Charles was closer. He thrust his umbrella at Matteo as he slid, and Matteo grasped the hooked end.
Hold tight, said Charles.
He tugged Matteo back up the slope, hauling hand over hand.
You are more substantial than you look, Charles grunted.
Using Charles like a stepladder, Matteo clambered to his feet. Charles must have seen how white the boy's face was, because he smiled through the strain.
An Englishman without an umbrella is less than half a man.
he said. Matteo stood, and as he did so, a tile slipped down from under him and smashed in the street. Someone below shouted and pointed. Charles said, "Speed would be ideal here, I think." Sophie ran. Music was not as easy to follow as she'd imagined it would be. But surely now it was sharpening. It was coming from somewhere nearby. It was beautiful. Then a voice, singing in French, was added to the music. "Stars," Sophie told herself, "do not sing, except in bad poetry." But otherwise, she would have said the stars themselves were singing. Sophie scrambled over the tip of a sloping roof and stopped. On the rooftop opposite, a single leap away, there was a woman. She sat with her back to Sophie. She sat on an upturned box, and she held the dark curve of a cello against her body. Even in the dark, Sophie could see that the woman had hair the color of lightning.